This one here is for my man Malcolm. I'm going to sing him a song. It's from the your president of the United States. Kick it, DJ. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper, heavy deep up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. And every Saturday, the rap attack, Mr. Magic Molly Ball. I let my tape rap to my tape pop. Smoking and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Is that good enough? Let me know what you need.
Oh yeah, we had to bring it in. It's a nice message from El Capitan, Mariam Tazi.
What's up, Malcolm?
Huh? Were you holding it back?
I was. You told me to.
Ooh. Strict orders.
Received.
And carried out. Ooh. And we're back after 2 weeks.
2 weeks, huh?
2 weeks off.
Wow. Didn't realize it was 2 weeks.
You enjoyed your time off?
Sort of.
Hey, people, that's just the way it has to go down sometimes. Sometimes duty calls. And welcome to another episode of American Riddle. And we're back. Funky, fresh, in the flesh. What's so funny about that?
I mean, not with a podcast for today. I really wouldn't try to rhyme.
Really?
Yeah, no, I really.
Might not have the skill level.
Yeah, you're just setting yourself up for bad things, but it's okay.
Hey, man, what better way to kick off the podcast than have the president leave a voice message?
Yeah, the president.
President of something.
That's pretty funny, though.
It's you good. Know, just try to mix it up. Yeah, so, yeah, I took, I had to clear my head. I mean, I was juggling so much stuff, you know?
I know.
I mean, you heard me complain, I'm sure.
Just a little.
At some point within those 2 weeks.
Almost every day. Yeah, almost. There's a few days where you're pretty happy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the whole thing was leading up to our absence. My absence, really, because if I don't, come to the studio, nothing gets booted up.
Because we don't have an engineer.
There's no engineer.
Yeah.
We need an engineer. Ooh, listen to this. Fresh.
You're fresh.
Giovanni Ramirez. Gio.
Nice.
Gio. Gio. All right.
Okay.
Shout out to my man Giovanni Ramirez for coming up with a fresh beat. I've been tripping lately. Just my mind has been getting the best of me. And I've got a lot to cover today, so I won't be able to do movies and do all the, you know, the regular chit chatter, you know, but I'm going to get a couple things off my chest before we get into, you know,
the
rest of the podcast. Yeah. Well, I mean, just, I know leading up to the, like I said, taking a couple weeks off, I've just been bored. You've heard me talk about being bored on the podcast or being bored with the podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's more so not podcasting as it is the format. And the format is basically no format. You know, it's let the chips fall where they may, you know? I mean,
pretty much.
But it's good though, because I do enjoy it, but I find myself starved for other things. Like I quit listening to a lot of the other podcasts that I listen to because some of it is just it's a lot of gossip, it's a lot of jokes. You know, it's not giving me the knowledge that I crave. It doesn't have to always be serious. I like jokes and stuff like that periodically, but I find myself being starved almost or just hungry to create more, but I just don't have the time.
Right.
I don't have the time of the day. I got time where I could successfully on some level put together hour and a half podcast, you know, once a week or once every, I try to do once a week, but, you know, it's hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah. Life happens.
But it's a, you know, it's been tricky because my mind has just been playing tricks on me. And you know, being in that position mentally of wanting more, but almost where you can't get more, you know. It's like being at a job you're not happy with. You know what I mean? You want more. You want to do more and do things a certain way or be a part of something, but you're not getting anywhere. It's like almost a dead end. Yeah. And I'm not saying the podcast is a dead end. You know, it's still growing, and it's even 129 episodes in. I still look at it as a baby.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It really is.
Well, it's still evolving and stuff. We're still changing. Like you said, you're changing the format. You've had different ideas, even making other podcasts and stuff. So,
yeah. And I've talked about those other podcasts on mm-hmm. here and yeah. you know, the KRS-One podcast, mm-hmm. Which...
The Tom Cruise one.
Yeah, the Tom Cruise podcast.
I should stop mentioning that one.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to bring Tom Cruise up.
That's fine. That's cool. It's fine.
What do you mean? Cool. I mean, Tom Cruise...
Dude, apparently they just added Top Gun on Netflix, and it's like one of the best new movies on Netflix, Top Gun. Of course, I have to think of you when I see that. I'm like,
ugh. Yeah, but Top Gun really wasn't my favorite.
No, just because it's Tom.
Tom Cruise movies of the 80s. You know what I mean? It wasn't. I like Risky Business.
We didn't go. You went there.
And Taps.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know.
But we're going to stop there.
Okay, so good.
You're the one that opened that can of worms.
But I'm just talking about other podcasts you had been thinking about doing.
Well, definitely the KRS-One podcast. And it's still going to evolve into that. I think American Riddle is going to be the host of different series. You know, it's going to be podcasts within a podcast. It will be the mothership. Instead of me doing like separate podcasts, it's all going to be found at American Riddle. And I'll do a series of, you know, select subject matters. And still do the, you know, our back and forth and interviews with people we come across and we find interest in. But, I mean... Overall, it's just been, I guess I'm giving you more an explanation because you've heard me bitch about it off air. Like, you know, I'm bored with this and I've said it more than once, but you know, I haven't told anyone, I can't take that back. Oh, there's only like two people that I ever told why I started the podcast and the whole reason behind, you know, this show is not for the multitude, you know? It's not. I don't care if anyone listens. When someone does come up to me and they say something or they give you feedback, I'm flattered. I'm shocked. And sometimes I have to reach a little bit because I don't remember everything that's said. But all of it's like, all of it's from, you know, basically it's...
life.
Yeah, it's just a snapshot because most of the people that interact with me and probably you don't really get a chance to know, you know, what makes... You know,
us tick.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that gives them a little insight for people that know. And even people that don't know, you know, they get to know.
A little bit.
Because I've received feedback from people. But the main reason why I started the podcast was for my son to listen to it. That's it. That's the only reason. Yeah. That's the only listener that I really, and not live, like, not at the moment it's released. Like, maybe he'd listen to the podcast a year or 2 years from now or something, or be bored, or be in a point in his life, or if something, you know, God forbid, if anything happened to me, there would be those breadcrumbs. You know what I mean? Because I'm at that age now where I'm always looking at stuff on social media, and I'm seeing things where brothers and sisters are dropping off. You know what I mean? Right. Health reasons or whatever, what have you. I mean, I'm not that old, but I mean, I just see things that happen. And also coming from a shared household where he spends the majority of the time with his mom. And I'm not the type of dude that's going to like, we don't fight. We don't really argue, his mother and I. So, you know, it's not something that, you know, we've always tried to maintain, you know, a cordial relationship. But at the same time, sometimes I feel like he's not getting the whole story. Or really, you know, the time we spend is in the car and it's back and forth. And, you know, this is a way for me to communicate and say things that are on my mind. And, you know, maybe one day he'll listen to it, you know. And he has listened, but I know he's not listening like all the time. That's not the point.
Well, that's what's cool, that it's on the internet. He can whenever he wants to, you know. So it's kind of nice that he has like a journal.
So this is why I don't have a memoir. Yeah, and this is the reason why I don't have like a rush an obsession with sponsors or an obsession with, you know, getting guests and stuff. Cause I don't really care. You know, I don't like, it's cool when we get like a Crazy Legs or
it's the shit.
Yeah. Crazy Legs. You know, the world famous iconic break dancer from Rocksteady. And, you know, we get, you know, filmmakers and actors and I think
comedians.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a handful of guests. I mean, that's always it's always a bonus. And at the same time,
it's exciting for us more than maybe the guest or the people that are listening. If they're listening.
But, but again, the podcast itself, it's
entertaining it's to for us.
It's not, no offense, people, but it's not for you. If you're along,
no one's gonna listen anymore. Yeah. Like, fuck these people. No, I'm not listening anymore.
If you're along for the ride and you enjoy,
I've had good feedback. We were like, yeah, your banter's pretty funny. I'm like, oh, really? Thanks. You know, yeah. And it's surprising, but it's always, yeah, it's someone, very sweet that people even take the time.
Yeah,
you know?
And yeah, I'm like I said, I'm always surprised and flattered, but at the same time, you know, it's made just to shoot the shit. Leave some breadcrumbs, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of humor, and whatever else it fills in. You don't need to plan that. You just be yourself. You just pick up. Someone asked me recently over the weekend, you know, oh, how'd you start podcasting? So I pulled out my recorder and I just said, I hit record. That's how I started. That's it. That's the secret. You know, and this isn't like some successful, you know, heavily sponsored and, you know, we've got like A-list celebrities on the podcast, but you know, I look at the people that I know that I find interest in, they're A-list. So it's like, you know, I don't need all that stuff. Anything else is a bonus.
Yeah.
And you know, don't get it twisted also. It's not like I'm getting bored leaving messages or this, like you said, a memoir to my son. It's just being the, it's hard for me to say that I'm creative, but I like to create. I like to produce things. And being that type of person, I always want more. And I'd like to be able to get to a position where I can give, where I would like to give more, you know, whether it's to one listener or two or three, or even just to satisfy myself to see if I can do a higher quality.
Challenge yourself. You want more of a challenge, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, higher quality production. So that's why. And you know, it's like, you know, I don't, do I have to? Some weeks I may or may not. I may not show up. You know. But we've gone through this conversation before. I think it was like, you know, back at episode 50 or something. Mm. You know, I've had, you know, this struggle in the past. But that's where it's at, people. So, you know, you get the truth.
It's okay.
You know. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not saying it's not okay.
No, I know what I'm saying. Like,
you know, it keeps it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Speaking of feedback, I recently got feedback from Andy Katz, aka Andrew Katz,
mm-hmm.
aka AJ Katz, aka Katz Art, and he was giving me feedback. We
he's definitely a listener,
and he's been on the podcast, and we've talked about Andy, you know, more than you know once mm-hmm. on the show, and you know we're big fans of his art, definitely. Literally, he does really cool. You know, watercolors and charcoal and drawings and of
portraits.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Portraits of celebrities. What is that? Like a dump truck driving by or something? You know what I saw earlier coming in? Get back to Andy in a second. There was outside the studio, there was a trash truck picking up trash and there was a couch, a big, long, super long couch. Dude picked it up by himself. Barely put it in the back of the trash. And I was like, how's this going to work?
Wait, but...
Like, how's it going
to... I didn't even know they picked up couches.
I didn't know either. And he put it on... Just, it was not even a quarter of the way in, and the thing gobbled it up like it was nothing.
Whoa.
Like it was nothing. I was like, damn, dude really? Knows his craft.
That's pretty impressive.
I have to get him on the podcast.
That's pretty impressive. Jeez.
But...
So, Andrew.
Yeah. Yeah, he was giving me feedback about listening and you know, listening on his way to work and on a commute. You know, that's when you listen to podcasts.
So I told
you
don't my have brother to listen to. I was like,
yeah, you don't have to listen to, you know, if it's an hour and a half, 45 minutes, or whatever the length is. I listen to mine in pieces. 30 minutes here, 15 minutes there. You know, I'm driving around seeing clients. I listen to bits and pieces, and eventually I get through, power through it.
Well, it's kind of cool that you can just pause it and pick up where you left off.
But he was giving me feedback. And one of the things I like about Andy, outside of his artwork, he's a very unique personality that, you know, he has a very gentle way, the way he goes about life. He doesn't even know he's doing stuff until it's done. You know, people like that. Like he was giving me feedback about the podcast. And, you know, I was you know, pretty up and down the past couple weeks. And I finished on an up, thank goodness. But a lot of it is due to him because, A, he gave me feedback on the podcast, which, you know, it does feel good when someone is listening and they give you feedback, negative or positive, it doesn't matter. You know, it's you're stimulating them and they're, you know, they're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, but his was all positive, and it made me feel good about, you know, during the show, you know, everything that he said, it was really cool.
Aww.
And, you know, I credit him to one of the, he is the person that kind of brought me back into the fold of hip hop. I talk a lot about hip hop on the show,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, yes. I brought it up once or twice.
No, just a few.
And I met Andy on Twitter. I saw some of his art that he does and hit him up on Twitter. I looked at his bio and he's from Annapolis and we ended up hooking up and he was on the was on the show and all that stuff. And then we met up at a show at the Howard Theater. I think it was the premiere Pete Rock show was the first time we met.
I don't remember, but
I believe so. But my point is, you know, I've had this love-hate relationship, and I've bitched about, you know, hip-hop and rap music and stuff like that on the show time and time again. But he's been a real inspiration on me opening my eyes to what's not only everything from the past, but also what's right in front of you right now. You know what I mean? And actually getting me to step out of my comfort zone, meaning, you know, sometimes you get caught up and you're at work or you don't like your job and you're just going day after day doing the same routine and not being open to trying anything else
yeah.
or doing anything else new. And, you know, you can do that for weeks, months. Some people
need that, but some people need a change, you know, and they need an external, you know, power or person or something where that'll kind of push you, you know, a little further and kind of like make you realize that it's the right way to go. You know what I mean? But you kind of need that push so that you do it finally and get out of that comfort zone, like you're saying. Some people just need that routine daily, but other people just
get bored and it gets
monotonous and they're like, I need a change. Like, I'm that kind of person.
Well, that's
like,
that's fine too. If you're doing the same thing and it's benefiting you, but if you're just stagnant, if you're just stuck and let's say every Friday you go home or you go to the gym or you just do your routine and you're not going out and exploring, you know, the arts,
especially
what's in your backyard. I mean, Washington, D.C. it's a major place. It's a major city in the world, global. Yeah. People come here from all walks of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether they're politicians or visiting musicians, filmmakers, there's a lot going on. So he was and still is very instrumental in breaking me out and getting me back involved and noticing, you know, the golden era of hip hop and a lot of the new stuff that's going on as well. And, you know, through his art, through his personality and through his friendship, you know, I've been able to go out and fall back in love, you know, with hip hop. And it's crazy because I started to realize how much I really missed, you know, being in the mix, you know,
this past. Literally being in the mix.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, we spent, the first time we went out, we hung out, we were hanging out with Pete Rock and DJ Premier. We were up to like 3 a.m. You know, we're no spring chicken and we pay for that. We pay for it the next day, you know, next 3 days. you know. But the fast forward, this past weekend, we had the 20th, the anniversary of the Million Man March.
Mm-hmm.
We had, before that, Thursday night, Big Daddy Kane and Rakim at the Howard Theater. The next night, Friday night, we had Common and KRS-One. And then Saturday, I had the Million Man March. And every one of those, you know, I was out there, you know. I was out there, front and center, you know.
More than that.
How you didn't come is beyond me.
All right, can we? I'm the responsible one. And
But yeah. See, that's my point, too, that and I want to bring this up. I'm not rubbing it in your face, but at the same time, I want you to kind of just pay attention, because these are going to be moments, and you're young enough that you can capitalize on stuff like that and not regret it 5 years from now or 10 years from now. I regret not going to the Million Man March in 95. Like, it's one of the biggest things that has haunted me. I regret it just so I could work overtime. I don't even have that job anymore. That job doesn't mean anything to me. Not anything. And I wasn't there. You know what I mean? And for me to be at the march, and I struggled, believe me, because I was up. We hit those two shows, and for me to get up that morning and metro in, it took a lot. And to stay there, and I stood, you know what I mean, the whole time, all them hours, speech after speech. I mean, it was tough, but it was nothing more satisfying to be in the culture, you know what yeah. I mean? And I just never – it's weird because I've been away from my people for so long, you know, in the wine business, you know what I mean, in corporate America, thinking you think that – I'm speaking to myself, not so much you or anyone else, but you think that you're doing the right thing, but it's not your thing. Take color out of the equation. It's just not your thing, not my thing, you know, and I've been gone for so long. So for me, it was a homecoming. Big Daddy Kane and Rakim. I couldn't even get the words out. Did you see it? Did you see that? Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, KRS-One, Common, and to be surrounded by the culture on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, that was a homecoming. It was a beautiful weekend. You know, I mean, I could keep talking and talking about that. It felt good to be home. You know what I mean? And I mean that amongst people. And there weren't just black people there. There was people of all races and colors on the
appreciation
on the Mall of Washington, D.C. Oh. Yeah, I mean, we got to look at the big picture, and we have to come together. You know, and on that note, coming together, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, Allah, you know. I mean, what's better?
Every you guys, time you say it, it's like hurting me, but it's okay. Because I know what I missed.
Yeah, but you guys have heard me talk about this on the podcast so many times. Maybe not so much about Big Daddy Kane, but Big Daddy Kane is right up there when I talk about Rakim and KRS. And I've talked about them time and time again. And so much, some of you probably tuned out. So if you don't want to hear about Big Daddy Kane, it's probably a good time. And KRS and Rakim, it's probably a good time for you to turn the podcast off and, you know, go listen to the Nerdist or someone. You know what I mean? Talk about, you know, nerd stuff. But this is my nerd stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so I knew you would fall in line. No problemo. So that's what's up. We had Big Daddy Kane and Rakim, same venue, same time, right?
Yeah.
What's better than that?
I don't know.
I knew it was coming months ago. I think I knew like 6 months ago, and I took off. I scheduled. I made sure nothing was going on.
I tried to.
You know, nothing was going on. You know, I mean, those two dudes, when I think about Big Daddy Kane, I mean, the name alone, if you don't know, you got to know. Look him up. I mean, the skill level. You just featured him.
Yes, I did.
On the last Lyrics of Fury.
I did.
You know what I mean?
That's why that I should
have
gone.
We just hosted. Yeah. And he's no joke. And I go on record to say on that last Lyrics of Fury. It was, what was it, Little Dicky?
You don't even remember. Like, doesn't matter because Big Daddy Kane won.
He did. I mean, you know, I made light of it, but don't get it twisted, people. There is a soul. There is a, and I'm not saying Little Dicky doesn't have skills. He has skills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and
it's almost like an unfair battle, though.
And I'm not just saying this because I just saw Big Daddy Kane. I said this to you.
Before, weeks ago. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I came clean.
This is true. And, privately, you know.
Well, I was going to go on. I just didn't know I was. Yeah, yeah. I didn't know there's going to be a hiatus of the podcast, so I was going to go on and talk about it. But you know, it's
cool. I'm
there's a skill level
podcast.
There.
It's cool.
Yeah, there's a skill level there that you just can't match.
Yeah,
and I didn't know what to expect going into the concert.
Well, because you had never seen him perform.
Never,
before, right?
Never had the opportunity.
Yeah,
I got hip to Bill, Big Daddy Kane. Who's Bill? I got
Bill.
Yeah, who is he? I got hip to Big Daddy Kane. I mean, you know, mid '80s, '85, '86, and it was more kind of a. You know, we knew about him. We knew he was affiliated with Marley Marl, one of the greatest producers ever in hip hop. You know, and you have the Juice Crew. You know what I mean? You hear me talk about Roxanne Shanté, Biz Markie. You know, MC Shan. You know,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I came in a little bit later.
Cool
than
G Rap.
Oh, jeez, here we go. Keep you going. Know. You have like this new stance.
Craig Mack. Okay. Master Ace.
You look like you're trying to battle me. Like.
Master Ace poking my chest out.
Yeah.
So you look. When Big Daddy Kane came out, I mean, there was nothing. I mean, it was just so different, so unique. I mean, when Rakim came out before Big Daddy Kane, right? And I'll talk about that later. But both of those guys were game changing in their style, their delivery and flow. Game changing. The way rap was delivered. Now people listening, some people may be like, oh, here he goes with the old school stuff, the old school stuff. You know, no, this is the golden era.
Yeah, because how many years later?
This
did
is
I
the
to
golden
you?
Era. This is like
late 90s is when I started.
This would be like if Miles Davis came in to a room, right? Came into a room and started to perform, right? No matter what age he is, you ought to feel blessed, right?
Mm.
Right?
No, yeah, for sure.
I mean, when what was your experience?
Well, like I said, it was later, so I didn't start in the 80s. I was very, very young in the 80s, so I didn't really pick my own music back then, but probably like later 90s. So, I mean, I grew up in the DC area. So, I mean, hip hop was always kind of like part of the culture and the music on the radio and stuff. So that's what I kind of like. I had that style already within me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was listening to the stuff on the stuff on the radio at that time was really good, you know? So I was like just, you know, trying to
yeah,
do
you
that.
Had you had 93.9, 95.5.
Yeah, they were playing
they
some
used
jams,
to play
MTV. Like it was still, you know, that stuff was like it was yeah. good yeah. then. You yeah. had Yo MTV Raps. Like things yeah. were good.
Fab Five, Freddie.
Yeah. So, but then I went to college.
Dr. Dre, Ed Lover, probably in the 90s. I think Fab Five was in the 80s.
Still though, but I see. I actually saw him in New York after, so that's what comes back. So I went to Canada for school, and there it was. It was like I was really young.
Yeah, how was hip hop in Canada?
There really wasn't that much hip hop at that time in Canada. It was like really late 90s, and it was more like I found the spots later on. But that first year, like it was mostly reggae, and there was a lot of Caribbean society parties and things like that, and a lot of techno and stuff like that too for the clubs. But then, you know, you find Montreal is very culturally diverse, so you just find those pockets once you live there, and you find the funk places, you know, this whatever, swing, jazz, whatever you want to listen to, you can find. You just have to know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back here, and I got back into hip-hop, though, and I missed it. Even though when I would come back here on vacation, I would always, like, record the radio and stuff so I could bring it back and have, like, just some music from back home. And then when I came back, I got back into hip-hop for real, and I started seeing a DJ. So he, you know, was all into records, hip-hop, all kinds of good stuff, funk, soul, all that goodness. And it just brought it back to me. And once you start listening to that stuff again, it's very, very hard to let go. And I have never stopped. So, you know, I listen to a lot of different variety of music, but I still, when you rediscover music that's so great and timeless, like you were saying, like, I don't get sick of it. And for me, that's amazing. Like, to listen to something where I don't get sick of it over and over again and have it on my playlist, and just, it still rings true today, you know, the stuff that they're talking about. It's still stuff that applies, even though it was out in the 80s. I listened to it in the 90s. And it's still, I still listen to it today in 2015. And I'm still, like, they're talking about things that are still relevant, you know? And
it's
there's
an
still
art.
Issues. Yeah, but it's very difficult. They didn't know. They didn't know, you know, how timeless it would be, you know?
But they were making it for the love of the art itself.
Right. And
there was a lot on the line.
That's also what makes me love it, you know?
To be that skillful. Well, let me ask you this then. As a female,
mm-hmm.
what or how did Big Daddy Kane impact you?
I mean, he's
you?
Very sexy. His voice is
Dark
insane.
Gable.
Insane. What is it? Count Macula?
Count Macula. Dark Gable.
I mean, but he also, you know, he had a good message. You know what I mean? So he was positive about women most of the time, you know? And he was sexy. I mean, you can't go wrong. And he was doing the moves. I mean, could you not... Even the picture that you took with him recently, you know?
He looks way sexier than me.
No offense, but he has so much swag in that picture. Just his look, you know, and just, you know, it's just...
I mean, he got more AKAs, BDK, Dark Gable, King Asiatic, Nobody's Equal, Black Nova. You know what I mean? Count Macula. Ooh, I mean... I don't argue it. That's one of the things that I noticed, you know, in the '80s, you know, the shirtless Big Daddy Kane, you know what I mean?
It doesn't necessarily have to be shirtless. He just had swag, you know?
Yeah. Well, he's the only one that could pull it off. You know what I mean? Especially, and also have street cred, you know what I mean? Because he was known, and this was before people really used the word, you know, thuggish, you know what I mean? He was hard. Like, people were, he was respected, but he also knew that he needed to balance it out. And mm-hmm. and I've listened to a couple podcasts with him on where he talks about him coming of age and learning the craft of show business, the entertainment business, and knowing your market and your value and your brand, and how he had to learn how not to just be spitting fire on the stage, but also to entertain the audience. And that's one of the things I found out circa 2015.
Yeah, you're like, he was an entertainer.
He had no idea. And you guys listening right now, understand this. We're going to go through, and I'm going to go through the everything that happened that night. I'm going to play the audio. So a lot of this podcast, we will stop and comment on certain things, but I'm going to play you the clips that stood out for me within the Big Daddy Kane and Rakim program. Show that night. So, I mean, it's something to behold. And like I said earlier, you know, if you're not into it, you know, just don't listen to this show right now. Move on, because we're going to do this regardless. Like,
I'm excited.
Yeah, me and the African with attitude here, we're going to go through the show in a few seconds. But one of the things that I really want to bring up is the audience, like the audience, when we walked into the Howard Theater, it's me and Andy, right? We walk in, they had table and chair set up on the standing room part, which we thought was odd.
Yeah, I remember when you told me that was weird.
We thought that was odd, but it didn't last for long. Don't
like,
sleep.
People weren't sitting, were they?
No. No, even if you had a bad knee, you're getting up. But you know, it was packed. It was packed. I think that it should have been jam packed. And I wonder what goes into the marketing and what is the interest of people. Like I look at myself, and I think of the time of the many shows that I missed because, you know, I got caught up, with work and life. You know what I mean? But don't, one of the things I've learned this past weekend, don't get so caught up that you forget about what you love and also what loves you. These artists love you. They love you so much, they make themselves accessible. When people see any post, if you follow me on Twitter, if you follow me on Instagram, if you follow me, Malcolm Riddle, if you follow me on Facebook, any of those, don't get it twisted. I'm not a celebrity. Okay, I'm not rich. I'm not, you know, a chosen few. You know what I mean? I'm not. You know, I'm working. I'm juggling jobs. I'm trying to make ends meet. I'm grinding it out. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off at the same things you are. But I make myself available for what I love and what loves me. And it shines through. That's the point I'm trying to make. And that's when it may appear that I'm getting on your case by saying you should be at these events.
I'm on my own case. Okay.
I know you are because you know better.
Yeah.
But anyone listening right now, if you're in your cubicle, if you're in your car, if you're driving to a job that you hate, you know what I mean? Stop. Just take a moment. You know what I mean? Take a breath and plan and do something that you love. Within, if you can't do it that minute, later on that day or that coming weekend, do it for yourself because you deserve it, right? I mean, I've talked enough talk. I've talked about Rakim for so long. So for me to, and I'll get into that, to share the stage with him, it's unbelievable. So when you see me and I post these pictures, it's not like, you know, I'm special, you know, anything special. I just do the math and align myself up with good people, good human beings, like Andy Katz. You know what I mean? He goes out. He does artwork. We go out together. I'm just happy to be there. I don't care if I go backstage. I don't care if...
Like any, that is a bonus.
None of that matters. The fact that I've now come home and embraced hip-hop and the love within the culture is a win for me. So I don't care if I'm 100 rows back. I'm good. Anything else, yeah. And anything else did go down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one of the things that does bother me about our culture of hip-hop is age and respect. A lot of people always focus on the new, the young, you know what I mean? But like I said before with the Miles Davis analogy, you know what I mean? If you see Miles Davis, you know what I mean? If you were to see him, he's no longer with us physically, but if you saw Mick Jagger or any of the celebrities that are older now, they get respect, except in hip-hop, and it's weird to me. I got a quote right here, and it says, we, black people, don't respect our elders. Besides artists, we don't respect Frederick Douglass. We don't respect Martin Luther King. You look at every Martin Luther King Boulevard out here, and it's a crack block. That's not because of white people. That's because of black leadership. We just have the problem, and it's something that I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to conquer. That's the Blastmaster KRS-One.
That's good.
You know what I mean? It's mind-boggling to me that, and you and I have talked about this off air, is the fact, and that so many people don't know their history or respect it. Because you're so focused on the here and now. And that's any youth. Like when I was coming up, I had to take a step back from our conversation we had the other day or yesterday about this matter when I was like, how can you not know who Big Daddy Kane or Rakim is or KRS? But I mean, I'm only now really getting into Grandmaster Caz. When I was in the Run DMC, you know what I mean? I wasn't into Melly Mel. I knew who they were. You know what I mean? I knew who Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five, Melly Mel. I knew who they were. I knew Love Bug. Well, maybe that's different. I knew. I've known everyone, man. I mean, to some greater or lesser degree. But you didn't see me running out to their shows. I wouldn't make it an effort. But if it's Run DMC, Beastie Boys, any of those. So the youth does have that bit of narcissism and arrogance where we just focus on, and I'm talking about we when I was young, not present, but still, I mean, still, even this age, it's still young. Big Daddy Kane is in his 40s. He's still young. These artists are still young, and they're still doing it. It's a craft. It's an art, and we should not overlook it. I'm going to play a clip right now. And this is a soundbite from a podcast I listened to. You should check it out. It's called the Combat Jack Show. All hip hop podcast. It's just it's a beautiful podcast if you like hip hop. And this is a clip where they're interviewing Eric Sermon. We know Eric Sermon from EPMD. You know what I mean? Def Squad, and they're talking about the exact same complaint about how artists in the hip hop community, within the black community, once they get to a certain age, they're disregarded,
yeah,
especially in hip hop. So let's listen to this clip real quick.
He was about to say.
No, I was saying that we speak about this all the time about how, like, we're talking about, like, you know, U2 and everything like that. Like, you know, people like Barry Manilow is touring right now. Willie Nelson is still touring. Nobody's saying, like, you know, he ain't relevant no more, or, you know, they're selling out stadiums, you know. But, like, in the genre of hip hop and the genre, you know, of like R&B, like, people will be like, you know, what have they done lately? Or they're not relevant anymore.
Ask the questions, yes.
And that's sad because, you know, it's sad because, like, even like Jay-Z is on top of the world. Maybe in 5 years, I'll say, he's old. What is he doing?
They're trying to kill him.
Instead of being happy for what they contributed. For me, I look at it and I think Combat looks at it. And maybe some people do look at it like, yo, EPMD, Eric Sermon, you don't ever have to put another piece of material out. We appreciate you for what you contributed. Mm. And you could tour forever.
Right.
Willie Nelson, Barry Manilow is about to die. He's still touring.
Mick Jagger's 103 years old.
He's not 103, man. But
I know, but he go on tour, he brings in $457 million. You two go out, they bring home $265 million. This is a guaranteed money for them, but nobody looks at them. Annie Nix just come on the Grammys and kill it. Bruce Springsteen won a Grammy last year. Paul won a Grammy last year. Paul is on stage with Paul McCartney and Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Nobody's saying nothing.
We're Kanye.
Like, what is he doing up there? Not one word. But that's Paul McCartney. Respect level. Yep. But as soon as we do something, we got to be, what? They still rapping? Or he's still doing? Oh, it's automatic. It's an automatic disrespect or automatic hatred. That's something wrong with that. They look at Madonna and say, yo, when is Madonna coming out? Yo, that's it, at 53.
So that's Eric Sermon voicing his disgust. And yeah, it's a fact. You know, I've had people make fun of me because I was going to see Big Daddy Kane and call me old, you know what I mean? Which is fine, you know what I mean? I used to make fun of the old guys at work and stuff, and now I'm the old guy, you know? So, you dish it out, you got to take
it. Though. It's a very good point.
Well,
like,
they're making millions.
That?
They're millions.
Like,
you know what I mean? Our guys are, you know, like they always say, they're eating, but they got to go overseas. They got to go to Sweden. They got to go to Finland. They got to go to the U.K., you know what I mean? Because there's a respect level that they're getting from across the pond that they're not getting here.
It's,
you know,
too bad. I don't understand.
It's crazy. And, you know, I had the honor that since you couldn't come, my brother actually filled that seat, and he came. My brother Craig, my younger brother,
mm-hmm.
And you know, it's, I like to see people's reaction. You know what I mean? To see what they think. I'd never seen Big Daddy Kane, but I knew Kane. And I've heard things. I've heard things. So, you know, I knew things weren't going to disappoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I heard things. but my brother, this is a quote from my brother Craig. And he said, this is his quote. He goes, I've seen Jay-Z multiple times. But Jay-Z live is nothing like Kane. Is nothing like Kane live. Kane has the voice and energy. Jay-Z has skills, but it's more the celebrity that pulls you in and keeps you there. You know, it gets you caught up, as he said. Kane is part of the beat and the music, and it just flows. That's what he said.
It's true. I like that.
The next quote he said... And then we're going to go in and start playing new clips for those of you listening that you may have not.
I'm going to have to turn up the volume in my headphones.
You may have not seen Big Daddy Kane before. You may have listened to an album like, oh, that's old. Dismiss it. Okay. Dismiss it if you want. But I'm going to play you some audio. of the skill level. This is the second quote my brother said. And you have to understand my brother, man. He's a tough customer. He's
very difficult to please.
He's a tough customer, okay? Craig Riddle. Tough customer. Calling him out. All right, this is his second quote.
Poor Craig. Okay.
I don't even know Kane's lyrics, okay? I can't recite one. I can't recite any of his stuff. You know, he's from a different era. He's from the Tupac era, you know? My brother is. Yeah. He goes, I don't even know Kane's lyrics. But when you see Kane, you get hype. Mm-hmm. He goes, I was hype. He makes you believe that you can do that too. Aww. It's like when you see Rocky and you think you can fight. Mm. Right after you see Rocky, you want to go box. Quote by Craig Riddle. And everyone does that. When you see Rocky, you want to work out. You want to run out. When people go to Philly, what do?
They run.
They run up the damn stairs. When people are around a chicken, when you see a chicken, you always want to chase it like Rocky did. When they see eggs, when you work out, what are you going to do? They still make those references today about Rocky. When I see it on Netflix, I want to watch Rocky. And that's Big Daddy Kane.
It's good.
Oh, man. So let's get into the show. So this, with no further ado.
Thank God.
I know. I've been building this up for a minute.
I'm like dying over here.
I know. So let's I'm gonna play the clip, and this is the opening segment of the show. Here we go.
Y'all people sitting down, we need y'all to get involved. We need y'all to stand up.
They were sitting down in the chairs.
Get up, move. Move these damn tables.
Ladies, are y'all ready to rock with us or what? Fellas, what's up with y'all? Y'all ready to rock? Just follow me. Come on away from side to side. Party people, wave your hands from side to side. Want to see you push your hands up. Push them up. Push your hands up. Push
them up.
That's right.
Trying to figure out how to get close.
I know it is.
I got to stop it for a second. Sorry. I got to stop. They're getting the crowd hype. You will witness within this program the crowd on both shows, Rakim and Big Daddy Kane. The crowd just involved, and it's a beautiful. Thank God I brought my field recorder with me.
Yeah,
I had it with me all weekend. You know, there was a time you couldn't bring stuff like that in a you know any
I'm
show.
I'm actually surprised that they
no,
let
I
you.
Just hold it in, man. It's just like word. This is going down. I'm hitting record. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going to happen. So here we go. Let's just get back. And they got suits on. Yeah. So you see how he opens the show. He pulls you in Okay, so he pulls you in and just rips it. And he does that. He brings you up, brings you down, brings you, and it's a performance. Like it, and it's his the lyrics, the delivery is insane. You hear the listen to the crowd.
Yeah.
If you love hip hop, make some goddamn noise.
And he's in a suit with a bow tie.
He jumped
in.
Yeah, let it roll. Does it get better than that?
You have to ask me. I would have died. I would have probably died.
There was a time when Craig, he was watching it and he was just still.
Yeah. Like, I would have just been there just staring in awe the whole time.
Yeah, in awe. Here we go. Here we go.
Into the crowd.
Let me just stop it right there, people. For those of you listening that might not know what the hell we're cheesing about on the microphone, he just went from Let It Roll and then he did a segue in to one of the greatest songs ever. Okay? This is called The Symphony. One of the best crew songs, if not the best crew songs ever.
You're gonna have a heart attack.
Look
relax.
It up. It's called The Symphony. If you don't know, look up the video. It's so historic on mega proportions. Not just the song, not just the sales, not the fact that you got Big Daddy Kane on it, not the fact that you got Kool G Rap on it, not the fact that you got Craig G Master Ace on it. You know what I mean? You got everyone on it, the Juice Crew, but also look up, know your history. Mm. Listen and find and listen to how it was made. I'm not even going to tell you. Just Google it. Google the story behind the making of the symphony. Yep. And it's amazing. It'll blow your mind.
Did we not talk about this already?
If you're a hip-hop head. Don't care.
We'll
talk about it again.
That's okay. I'm just wondering. We'll talk about it again.
So we did a segue into the symphony. Shit. His part. Are you kidding me? And he's in a suit.
So much energy.
He's in a suit. You know what I mean?
So hard. Look at his voice. So deep. Yeah. That was too loud.
You're getting excited. It's all right.
I got too close.
It's all right. It's expected, woman. It's Big Daddy Kane.
Exactly. Listen. I'm like melting.
She's doing some thigh clapping over here.
No, I'm not, but close.
And how y'all doing up top?
How y'all doing up top?
Show you right.
Show you right.
So all my real hip-hop heads, help me out one time.
When I say hip, y'all say hot. Hip,
hot.
Hip,
hot.
When I say don't, y'all say stop. Don't
stop.
Don't
stop.
I think I hear you.
You'll hear me in it. I'm not scared. Like, hey, ladies, hey. I accidentally. Yeah, I mean, it's the real deal. I mean, come on, man. I could listen to that all over again. I mean, I'm out of breath just, you know, just going at it. But that's just to give you a sample. And it's getting ready to pick up again, people. Like, it's getting ready to get started. I'm going to let it play. Hold on. It acknowledges the ladies throughout this.
That's just the way he does it.
The whole theme, the whole weekend, though. So, him to Farrakhan.
Before I go any further,
all about the women.
Something real quick. Stay with me for a second. If you're 25 and older, make some noise.
This is it.
Okay. We're starting to get a little grown up in here. Okay. Should I push it up? Push it up? Okay. If you're 35 and older, make some noise.
What you talking about?
I'm impressed. You say I'm proud too, baby.
One more minute. Push it up.
Okay. If you're 40 and older, make some noise.
A lot of people. Most of the crowd.
Oh, man. Wow.
Thank you.
So,
it's me.
We're going to pass that point of just being grown folks. Basically, I'm at home right now. I mean, I'm at home. I can do whatever the hell I want to do right now. And y'all cool with it. You sure? I can do whatever I want to do and y'all cool with it. Okay, all right, we're grown folks. Let's have a little bit of fun with it. Smooth it out, baby.
It's time to smooth this party on out a little something. You know what? It's right here. Let's go. Give it to you.
Really?
Excuse me. Take a few minutes. What's the matter? Big Eddie Kennedy's holding the mic. It's time to stop a vibe. You better fall back. A vibe of strength and power. So this is in the band of the hour. Flow with notes. You slow. Trip over, you know. Sing more. Swing low. Then you know. The show will go on. It's live form. Transform it on stage. I got the stack. With a
yeah, it's that type of show, people. It is that type of podcast. I'm just taking a trip down memory lane. And if you didn't make it, if you've never seen them, I'm just giving you a little taste. I mean, I gotta be applauded for that. If you're gonna applaud me, you can applaud me for this. Give it up.
Good job. This makes it sound so easy.
You ought to see Miriam's face right now.
I'm dying. I'm dying. I was listening to all of this music last night.
Yeah, you guys ought to see Miriam's face right now. I mean, she's grooving over here. You know, she gets a little serious face, got a little her head bobbing back, her hair moving, eyebrows.
I can't help it.
She's, yeah.
It just,
she's,
like, takes over. I can't help it. I don't know what's happening.
It's an amazing performance. I mean, it impacts you like that. I mean, if you grew up within the 80s and 90s hip-hop, you know it. You've heard it, right?
I hope so.
Then you got to experience it. I mean, it's that, it's that simple.
Why'd you turn smooth operator off?
Well... Yeah, and he was gyrating. He was like, the women.
We're dying.
Yeah. And it's. Yeah, they was all over. I mean, the women, they came, they were dressed they had their heels on. You know what I mean? There's tassels.
I would not have worn heels.
There was plenty. Everyone smelled like cocoa butter. The men smelled like cool water cologne and baby powder. I mean, it was just freshness in the air. It's a big difference now. I'm not bringing race into it, but if I'm around white people, I smell a lot of cotton candy. It's a different, a lot of sweet perfumes. You know what I mean? Black women, you know what I mean? Like cocoa butter, it smells like the beach up in that camp.
It does smell like the beach.
Ain't nothing better than the beach. You know why? Because the beach takes you there. You know what I mean? Takes you away, then brings you back. I can't even diss the cool water cologne and baby powder. That's what's better than fresh. That's all I had to add.
Did you dance during this? Did you do this?
they did a whole battle routine with the new school break dancer and Scoop and Scrap Lover. This is the skills section of the podcast, people. This is where skills are displayed. Hold on.
I'm dying.
I got to stop it for a second. She just took her headphones up and she is moving away from the studio board. She is moving away.
I can't. The glasses are coming off. I can't.
She's done. I might have to stop this podcast and pick it up later, people. I'm telling you, it was insane. This is the skills portion of the podcast. This is the part. Put your headphones back on, baby
dying.
Girl. Put them back on, because here we go. Put some chills on you. He's coming.
all the other people trying to rap with him.
It's insane.
Funny.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that. But yes, it does get better than that, Mariam Tazi.
Freaking out.
It's insane. It's insane.
Oh,
so I'm going to ask you a couple questions right now. She said no.
What do you want to ask me?
I can just let that keep playing. What's going on in your mind? Like, what is this do to you? Listening to this. I mean, do you feel the energy?
Yes.
And imagine being in, I don't know if you've ever been to the Howard Theater, but it's not a big venue. Mm. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Could have been me. Probably. I got into it for a minute. Yeah, no, it's
killing me.
Yeah, it's
actually.
He pulls you in so deep that you can't help but to be part of. You're part of the show, and you can see he's a master at that.
He's very good.
Yeah, and he credits that to Dougie Fresh.
Oh, he's a great hype man.
I've never seen Dougie Fresh either. So yeah, it's I can keep playing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to post this whole show on SoundCloud. I'm going to post all the audio of the shows that I got that. You know, all of them, they sound pretty good to me. I mean,
Dying.
You know that crowd? They're up and they're awake.
Of course.
Kane is in the house, people.
Jim!
That's me.
Jim!
That's your boy. That's your boy.
Jim!
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah.
That's really, the real deal.
Really amazing.
How you feeling?
I want to kill myself.
How you guys feeling? You listening to this? There's more to come. I mean, I got a lot of places I need to hit. Luckily, you know, we're good on time. I got time, and we're gonna go into the next song right here.
Hey, Neil. Get the fuck out the show.
Yes, indeed. Hey, yo. You know, we here to try to stick to the script, you know, because, you know, we're working with a time frame and whatnot. But, you know, when I feel this here type of love, I get into my little zone where I just like having fun, man, for real. Y'all don't mind if I get more intimate with y'all, right? You know, I want to stick to the script and do what we normally do. But, I mean, I'm in that mood. Y'all said I can do whatever the hell I want to do. You did say that. So I want to do that tonight, you know, for real. I want to go away from the script and do some of them Kane joints that you probably never really hear too much, you know. But it was them joints that you used to mess with back in the days, you did?
Here we go.
Hey, give me one of them. Full of little control, it's so different, my choice to the law.
ass. You must be on free range smoke. Show me the boundary, show me. Let's get your damn hands off the mic that I'm showing.
Over here. And he gives you a taste.
Yeah. Tease.
Yeah. And pulls it back.
I'm having fun. Let me see. We can go back. Let me see. I'm going to go back a little further. Not too much further. Just a few bumps further. Alright? Let me see. Matter of fact, I tell you what. Let's speed up the pace a little bit. Let's speed it up a little bit. Let's get it up.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? People are going nuts.
It's like, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Yeah, it's mind-blowing, right?
Yes.
I'm trying to tell you, Mariam Tazi.
I hear you, Malcolm. I'm
trying to tell you. So you think I'm going to stop there?
No.
No. I'm going to torture you.
I'm dying.
And I'm going to torture the listeners. Let's see what we got next.
I say it's hip-hop. Still in the building.
Of course.
Now we talk. So then, everybody saying, y'all saying hip hop is in the building. Y'all remember this, y'all remember that. I'm going to play a game with y'all right now. We're going to take a real trip down memory lane, all right? And if you understand what I'm saying, all I need you to do is just simply testify. And the way to do that is you just simply sing along, all right? Stay with me, listen.
Hope you're ready.
Now dig this. Do you remember when we carried the big boom box and then they even say,
Yeah, you really remember this before.
So I can shock into your mind. Do it because you're trying to be basic.
Yeah. Doesn't get better than that, huh?
No.
Yeah. Now you know, huh? Now you know. Now you know.
I'll just get fired next time. Oh, fuck. There won't even be a next time.
Yeah, no, you should. It's something you don't want to miss. I hate turning it down. Like it seriously, seriously bothers me to turn that down.
I feel like it's disrespectful.
Yeah, it does. It really does. It's a
so good. You didn't touch your tea, by the way.
No, how can I? I'm enjoying the show.
I finished mine.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, are you listening to this?
Yes.
Yeah, are you feeling it? She's feeling it, people.
I'm dying.
You're speechless.
I just don't even know. Like, I'm just like, it flows from one greatness to the next greatness, and it's just, it makes me wish I was there more and more, but I feel like I'm kind of almost there, so I'm glad you recorded it. Almost witnessing it. Sort of.
This is when you brought in the dancers. They were doing like the skipping routine.
I would have gotten dirty at this point.
Oh, it was off the hook. It was a party.
Yeah, I would have definitely been dancing. All up against whoever would have been there. Here.
And then they break it down. Yeah, it's one of them shows where you just gotta just absorb it all in and take it in.
You're probably not even fully absorbed yet.
No.
You can hear it in your face.
Man, literally, you have to see it. Like right now, I'm visiting it again in my head. Everything that I saw. So it's. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. And that's how Big Daddy Kane does it.
I'm glad one of us went.
Man, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, people are going nuts. It's not a joke. And I don't even know if I should bleed into the Rakim.
You should save that.
I'm just.
I don't think I can handle it right now. Actually, I'm still like.
Well, the Rakim was challenging because of my positioning within that, and I mean challenging as far as where my location was. Which when I was watching this show, I was in front of the stage, and I went backstage. You know, right after the show, that's when we made our way to the backstage. And it was more challenging to get the audio and even being on the stage. And I'll tell a story. I'll recap how all that went down. But a lot of times what happens is, you know, we're fans. You know what I mean? We're no different than you. Like, we're fans of the show. We're looking at it and watching it and loving it, dancing, screaming. You know what I mean? We're doing everything, you know, that anyone else would be doing, you know. You know, rapping, rhyming. You know,
trying
what I mean?
To,
yeah, trying. But I mean, no, I mean, it's the crowd. Everyone's, you know, it's awesome. We grew up on these songs, so it's like it's etched. It's etched. It's etched. You know?
Yeah.
It's etched.
Okay, got it.
All right. So it's you know, it's part of the deal. You know, and it's so, you know, when we're lined up, when we're up by the stage or wherever, usually Andy has his art with him, and one of the brilliant things about Andy is he's getting lyrics put on any piece of art that he brings to them to sign. Not right. just an autograph, but they put the lyric. That's history. Yeah. It's historic on mega proportions, you know, what he's doing for the culture. It's just amazing. And this stuff should be in a museum. So, you know, when a lot of times what happens is the management team knows him, and they'll let us backstage. In this case, when we went to the show, we didn't really we were just never sure what's going to go down.
Right.
So even before the show started, we were on the side of the theater before we went in, and I just banged on the side door because I knew someone was going to answer. Right. Someone always you hit knock on a door, in the back usually someone's back there. Right. That was my thinking.
Yeah.
And someone did the head of security, and she was like. Da da da. I introduced myself, introduced Andy, and she was like, I got y'all. So she would come by periodically, and when the time was right, it would let us in. But Andy had already communicated with Big Daddy Kane because he's supposed to be doing a family portrait for him.
Oh, yeah.
So his manager came out, you know, halfway through the show and a couple other times and said, you know, he'd wait till after he finishes because it's like, you know, he needs to – go back and relax for like 15-20 minutes.
Well, yeah. Just hyped everything up and jumping around.
Yeah, yeah. So it was, you know, it was that build up right there. And then eventually, you know, we made our way in and the manager came out and got us. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm in a dressing room, you know. I was nervous. Big Daddy Kane was just... right there, you know. I never thought it, not even, you know, how some things it's just not even, you don't even think that you would ever, or it's not even a possibility, like would you be in the same room as Big Daddy Kane. I was closer to him than we are right here in the studio, straight up
dying.
So this is one of the few times I didn't have anything to say.
I would like, probably have fainted.
I was like, say something, Malk. Say something, yeah. Malk. Say something, Malk. Say, and luckily, Andy's there. So Andy, he's, you know, he's got a battery already in his back. You know, he's talking away. And, you know, he had business to conduct anyway.
That's true.
So, you know, they were talking. And then finally, what was really cool about that was once him and Kane finished talking, Andy pointed at me. And he was like, you think my man can get a, you know, a picture? You want to meet my man? You know, so it was cool. He made the introduction, and then, you know, we're like, what up, blah, 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 blah. It was, you know, quick, you know. It's not like, you know, we're spanning time or anything, but the fact that, you know, Andy, you know, he's thoughtful like that, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's amazing.
Amazing.
And it was tough for me because I was in a position where we finally got backstage. But they're on a schedule.
Right. Rakim was going to perform, right?
Yeah. And Rakim's getting ready to come on. And so as I'm going backstage, I'm like, oh, my God. And I could hear the DJ warming the crowd up. And, you know, he starts cutting. And I'm thinking, I got a choice to make. And, you know,
it's a difficult choice.
It is very difficult. Because I'm looking at Andy, and he's going downstairs. And I know he's going to mix it up, talk. There's going to be, you know, it's back and forth, right? I'm going to miss Rakim opening performance. And I'm like, should I? And I'm walking behind. I remember taking two or three steps. Like I started lagging behind on purpose. And then I'm like, and I was like, do it. And that's when I, you know, went into the dressing room. And the whole time in the dressing room, my mind's, you know, my mind. Yeah, I'm like, Allah, God, Rakim Allah. And I'm thinking, you know, Rakim!
Can you tell the story about you telling your brother that God was going to perform, and he was like, who? Was it your brother?
Yeah, I told Craig Riddle. I told him, you know, you want to come out. Is that when I think I told him when I was going to go see. I was like, I had an extra ticket if you want to go. And I was like, God's going to be there.
Yeah.
And he's like, who? It's like, God. the God MC, Rakim Allah. Yeah, he was like, who?
That's so funny.
I mean, is there any other God MC?
No, right? But yeah, but the fact that that's how you, you know.
Yeah, God will be there.
Yeah.
God, who? No, yeah.
So he's about to go on stage and you can't decide on whether you'd hang out with Big Daddy Kane, chat it up with him, or be backstage and watch Rakim.
I had a serious decision to make, people.
Difficult decisions you have in your life.
It was tough.
I don't know who.
It was tough because you're trying to figure out what you're going to do, and you're like a kid in a candy store. You're literally
you want to do it all.
Yeah, you're like, you know, I'm trying to figure out which way is up, and it's crazy.
You still have to maintain your cool, you know, because you're with really cool people.
Well, I mean, the last time I saw Rakim live.
You were young, right?
It was like 87 when he came out. Like right after he came out, he was on tour, and it was could have been the Def Jam tour. I can't remember which tour it was, but when he came out, of course it was Cool J, and you had all these other artists that had a specific style. And I said this on a podcast before. This dude came out, he had the sweatsuit. You know what I mean? It was like green and blue, and everyone else prior to him. They were just jumping up and down, sweaty, screaming. The whole nine. He comes out and puts his leg up on the crate, right? And just starts rapping. And his head was moving forward. No sweat. And the crowd was just energized. And it was like... You ever go to like, you ever see Niagara Falls or something and you just see the power, but it's water. So you're like, it's water. I get it, right? But the power of the flow, it was like that, man. It was just like, this is amazing. Like, I'd never seen anything up to that point. Yeah, you know, I was a kid, but I'd never seen anything up to that point. No MC do that before. Not as cool or as smooth. In the delivery. Like, we knew Rakim. Check out my melody. It had already been released and all that. Eric B. is president. But we didn't. We knew the dopeness. But to see it live and no sweat. Like, it's as if he didn't have pores. He was alien. Right? And I'm front, center stage. I'm front row. I'm not, like, you know, 30 feet back.
So if there was sweat, you would have seen it.
There was nothing. He had a fro with the part. You know what I mean? The fade. You know, he had gold chains, jewels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole nine. And it was is cool. Like, if anyone smelled like cool water then, it was him. It was him. So I'm thinking of this while I'm going backstage. I'm like, all right, I'm going to miss. And I haven't seen him since. Have not seen him since. And we start making our way backstage. I don't even know if I have... I think I have audio of it. Let me see where this is. So I'm hearing this stuff. And the crowd's hype. And I'm hearing the DJ playing this. And I'm worried at this point. Like, I'm concerned. While everyone else is happy. Right? Not me. Like, you should be happy. You're going downstairs, right? To see Big Daddy Kane. I'm very, very concerned at this moment.
Well, because you're like, are they going to play another song, or is he going to come out? Is he going to play another song, or is he going to come out?
I can't.
Can't even go to the bathroom.
You got to understand, I have one of those minds where everything's going a million miles anyway. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about 20 things at one time and trying to multitask it. So if something like this, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim, my mind is in overload at this point. It's not even fun.
It's not even fun.
No, it wasn't fun. It was stressful for me.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm stressed. I'm stressed listening to this. And it's just like a montage, you know what I mean? It's a build-up. It's a progression.
Yeah.
I'm stressing just listening to this, people. Sorry for the dead air, but I'm reliving this right now, and I'm just, you know, at this time.
It's like the buildup of the music is going with the buildup of your mind of like, do I do this or not? It's like kind of cinematic.
Oh, it's insane. It's insane, yeah.
I just like that you kept it on.
I kept it on.
If I go pee, I'm going to keep it on.
This is it.
Yeah, because it's quieter now.
Yeah, I'm walking. And then dead. And this is the part. I'm in the hallway right now. This is like right after. So this is right after the Big Daddy Kane. And I'm like, ooh, we get done with it. It's like, oh, a weight has been, most people would be absorbing. Big Daddy Kane, they're happy. They're not thinking about Rakim. Most people can.
Like, I made it.
Yeah, they can process one thing at a time. Not Malcolm Riddle. I got 70 things on my mind, and one of them is I'm here with Rakim. I'm happy about, Big Daddy Kane, but I got Rakim on stage, and I'm nowhere near the front of the stage to see the show. I'm on this. I didn't really start doing the math until, like, this part. I'm like, I'm backstage, right? Uh-huh. And the stage is right there. I look up, and then they're playing this music, right? And I'm looking up, and we get stopped by a security guard or someone. And I'm like, whoa. People are talking. It's back. I hear that, and I'm like, and I'm like, whoa, man, it's about to go down. So at this point, we're backstage, and Ma Dukes comes in. Ma Dukes is Jay Dilla's mom from Detroit. She lives in Detroit and D.C. She comes to every show at the Howard Theater, right? You know what I mean? God rest the dead. You know, Jay Dilla, who passed away, she comes to every show. Everyone shows her love and respect, and she has a little entourage with her, right? So I'm backstage, and I'm still concerned. But when I see my Dukes, I see the D. What am I wearing?
Your hat. Your Detroit hat.
I got my blue blazer on. You know what I mean? My pocket square. I got a fresh pair of Dickies on. My Adidas. And I got a Detroit Tigers with the orange D hat on. So I did the math. Very fast. I did it lightning speed. I was like scientific. If I was a scientist, I was doing scientific equations, Mariam Tazi, in that moment, and said, there's my dude. She's making her way to the stage, right? And
Andy,
listen.
Artist.
Yeah, we just met Kane downstairs.
Oh, okay.
He signed it up. Are you still doing those hats?
So we're talking to, like, someone who's backstage. Rakim comes on, right? And I hear this, and I realize that time is going away. It is on, and I gotta make a move. I gotta make a move quick, all right?
Yeah.
I want to play it cool. I'm looking cool. You know, I'm chilling. Look, it's muffled. Ice cream. We're talking backstage. I'm missing the show, right? And I'm looking. That's when Ma Dukes comes by, and I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. I take my baseball cap, and I pull it down just a little tighter. Like I'm part of the entourage. And if they're going on to the stage. At that moment, a security guard walks away, and he's like, don't let anyone else through the door. As they're walking through, I just blend in. I'm like, I take one step. Oh, my God. I take another step. I'm almost there, right? And I'm walking, and with every step that I take one more. I'm at the door. I can see the God MC Rakim from my childhood. Understand this. I can see the door opens up. It's light, hoodies and Timbos. Two turntables and a microphone right there, Mariam Tazi. Right? and I go through, right? I go through, and let me turn it down a little bit. I go through the door. No one gets me. And then I just assume a B-boy stance. And I'm good. I'm on stage, man. I'm not just at the Howard Theater watching Big Daddy Kane and Rakim. I'm on stage about 10, 15 feet watching the show. At this point, I'm pretty much done. You know what I mean? Like a Scud missile could come and just blow everything. I'm good. Like I'm good. I'm okay with everything that's going on.
I believe it.
Yeah, in the world. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It's crazy because the audio that I got, it's a little off. Just because I'm on the side and the music's being projected outward, but I will play it just like I did the Big Daddy Kane, and it's I'm just chilling, like watch me go through the door. And I'm just there, like hanging out. So right now I'm just chilling on the side. You know what I mean? Now his vibe is completely different than Big Daddy Kane. This is like watching, it's like if you go to watch a poet. You know what I mean? This is watching someone with a set of skills. You know what I mean? That is on a completely different level. Not a dancer.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Not a romancer.
No.
You know what I mean? He's not in it.
He's
for the
lyricist.
There it is.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And he was just chill. It was chill.
But even in the interview we watched and stuff, like, he's just that kind of person, you know? He just seems like he's honestly one of the coolest motherfuckers out there. Like, let's be real. Just, I don't think anything could piss him off or make him, yeah, I don't know. He's just like the chillest. Even every answer he was given in the interview or whatever it was, he was just like.
Yeah, the interview Miriam's talking about, if you get a chance, Google Red Bull Academy. Yeah. Rakim lecture, and I think it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that.
Cool.
Of coolness and knowledge.
So cool.
Just pure knowledge and wisdom and understanding.
Swag.
Yeah, he is. He's a laid back brother. He's no
different.
He's
got a different kind of swag, but yeah. Still.
This style is for the hardcore hip hop heads. You know what I mean? Just, you know, the type of dude, you know.
Stand there and bob their heads.
Yeah. It's like, put your arms up.
That's
it. It's that simple. That simple. You know what I mean? And that's Rakim. I mean, he's regarded as the best MC ever. He's in just about everyone's top five, no doubt. It's one of those things that you can't question it. You know what I mean? You just can't. And when you see it, like, it's one thing to see it and you're in front, but I just can't even. It's hard for me to imagine that I made it and I was on stage. Come on. Different.
Now, I know you off the DJ better than that. You know what I mean, John? I know that the DJ.
Real New York. Like, hardcore New York. That boom bap.
Boom, 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 crowd. Come on. Shake, boom,
moly crowd. Come on! Say moly crowd. Say moly crowd. Say moly crowd.
This is the video he was in the army suit.
I never remember.
He's like a dictator.
You got my man. The way you like it. Yeah.
Standing by the suit, suffering your hazards. Stephen wasn't being evil, simple madness. Cause I just can't stand around, so I be closer in the clothes I get. That is down, my mind start to activate, bombs collaborate. The shit I heard the beat, I just had to make.
Something from the top of my head. How can I move the crowd? Are you serious? So yeah, the whole, his whole show, he would do parts of the songs where he just hold the mic. It's like, man, it's no work for him tonight.
Just stand there.
Yeah, yeah. Let everyone else rap it. They would do it. And it just mind, just blew my mind. And I'm sitting there, and I'm standing right. I'm standing next to this lady, and I'm filming it because I got a camera. I've got my audio. Finally, I had to put that shit down. And I talked to this lady next to me, not realizing who it was. I was like, I can't. I got to enjoy this moment. I can't hold all this technology and not bring this in, right?
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah. And I was like, I haven't seen him since 87. And she was like, really? That's so nice. It's his wife. His wife is on stage. His daughter was on stage, you know? A few audio hiccups in that. But, it was... Man, I tell you, I mean, it was just one of those experiences that will stay with me forever. I mean, it's just. Remember this song? Addictive. I love this song. Yeah, so I mean it's Rakim, you know. It's hard for me to process right now. It's a dream come true. I mean, Big Daddy Kane, Rakim. I know I've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it 1,000 more times in my own head. You know? Sometimes this just happened the other day. You know?
It's crazy to me, too.
Well, I mean, I don't know whose name comes up more on the podcast. You know?
I am okay with the love shown. It's the shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's...
See, we respect, you know?
Yeah, no, there's a group that definitely does show love and respect, and that's my point, was they also do, because it was so magical watching him on stage, because, you know, I'm up there, right, and people are taking pictures, I'm photobombing people, you know?
I mean, like, who's that guy?
They were reaching up to me. They were reaching for me, like, I was going to give them the pass to get up, and I was like, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm not even here right now. This isn't even happening for me right now. Like, it's not real. My mind is, it's so bent at this point. I mean, with every song, I'm like, he's right there, man. The hoodie, you know? I think he wears the same gear as me.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, they played everything. It's not one thing. I could just go through and, just play the hits. You know? I mean.
Y'all ready to finish the show? All right, let me get ready. So let's go, baby. Let's go, shit.
Watch it.
We're going in the hood on this one. Before we do that, I just...
Watch.
Yeah. I mean, you get the feel, right? It's like, I can do this all day and all night. It's, there's a part in the show where the DJ is just spinning, right? Just spinning. And Ross, he's up there taking selfies with people.
You told me you took some girl's selfie, like selfie stick.
Took her selfie stick
and, like,
from her.
In it?
Yeah, and was doing the show with the stick. I mean, she has video. It's that once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
He jumped out on stage, you know, when they hold you up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They threw him back on stage.
He, like you said, he's not that big.
He's
of
not
a
big
dude.
Dude. No, he's not a big man. Not a big guy. I couldn't do that because my knee. You know, I got problems.
Because my knee, it's not just your
my
knee.
Shoulder.
Yeah.
Got all sorts of issues. I'm heavier. You know. So it would be challenging for me to put that faith and trust in other human beings, no matter.
Carry me, guys.
Yeah, no matter how much.
I'm gonna jump.
No matter how much love they have for me and the quote unquote culture, I don't know if I would. I don't need to put that stress on them. But there was a time, you know, he was taking pictures and stuff. The music was playing, and I finally saw my brother in the in the middle of the crowd. So I roll up to Rakim, right? And I go, yo, Ra.
While he's performing?
He was done. It was like at the end.
Okay, because I was like, you can't interrupt the man.
No. No. Would never do that. But it was, there was a scene where the music was just playing. He was just giving dap, signing records and stuff like that. So I came up. I did a couple photo bombs. I was busting B-boy stances and stuff. And that's when I caught my brother, and I was like, take pictures, right? And he's taking pictures of me on stage next to him. But then that's when I put my arm on Rakim. I go, yo, Ra. I was like, get this pic, right? And he points at my brother, and that's when we take that picture. And the rest is history. Yeah, the rest is history. I mean, that picture turned out, like, my brother must have took like 7 pictures, and all of them were fuzzy, but that one came through.
That's a good one.
Oh, I was done. I was done. Didn't get any better than that. At least I thought it didn't get any better. It was one of those magical nights, one of those magical moments where the stars all aligned. And it could be anything. Everyone has their artists. Everyone has a part of their childhood that they experience. It could be a movie. Could be a musician. Could be a family member, but, you know, don't miss those opportunities is what I'm saying. You know, that's the main thing I want to stress. For me, of course, it's, you know, Rakim, you know, and Big Daddy Kane in the same time, in the same space. And I haven't even started to go into the KRS-One story yet. I haven't even, I'm not even going to tease that one yet. You know, you guys will have to tune in to that.
That's
and
awesome too. I'll
because,
tell you now.
Because what happened
shit.
Yes. What happened with KRS-One is beyond.
Yeah.
I guess I am teasing it. I said I was.
I'm sorry. I started it. Sorry. I couldn't resist.
I can't get
I
into it
know.
Now because this podcast is already almost at a 2-hour mark.
Wow.
And you know, it's
stay tuned.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that one, that's all of them are for the history books.
Yeah.
But go out. I mean, these guys and girls are available. They are in your backyard. Even if they're a drive, 2-hour drive or 3-hour trip to the next city, take the trip.
Is it Chicago, Jersey?
Yeah, he's got a. You just Google him. Google any of these artists, any artists that you can think of. Google it, all comes up, their tour dates. And, you know, it's 20, 25 bucks or something like that.
That's
to get
thing.
Into these places.
And they're cheap. 25 bucks?
Yeah. You don't have to. I didn't even drink. One of the shows I think I had, this show I did, but the second show with Rakim and them the next day, I didn't have nada.
That's because you were hungover.
I had oranges. I had clementines. I brought a bag of clementines.
Very manly.
I think that's what they were, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were shiny and small. So I brought her like 7. They searched me. When they searched me, the security guard was like, what the hell are these? I was like, fruit.
It's my fruit, man.
I bring the truth and fruit. We good? He goes, yeah, you're good. He just laughed at me and let me go through. So, yeah, people, definitely support your artists and stay, you know, most importantly, stay in touch with everything that you love and hold dear. Don't go through life, you know, hating it and being upset with the path that you're on, because you can change it. You can literally stop what you're doing right now and alter that course. You know what I mean? Do something that you normally wouldn't do. You know what I mean? Just because you've been set in that, you know, environment or that path or whatever you're into, you don't have to do that. You can go out, right? Do it. I mean, this weekend coming up, there's Rob Bass in town, Keith Murray, right?
Now, the most beautiful thing in this world.
Keith Murray, like, man. Come on, man.
Sorry, I just wanted to let people know.
I mean, you'll spend more this weekend in Starbucks, right? People that go to Starbucks, people that go to these fast food restaurants, you'll spend more than that. Take that money, get a ticket, and go support some of these. Yeah, show some love. That was hard to say. I know she's gonna call me out. You should see her, people. That's
no,
all right.
No.
Thanks for you know, listening, indulging us.
Thank you for recording.
I'm posting on SoundCloud the full shows and you know, let everyone have at it. So also before you tune out, I forgot to say this at the top of the show. Go to AmericanRiddle.com. Go to AmericanRiddle.com and click on the Amazon link. I got two links up, Amazon and iTunes. If you want to help this podcast out, go to AmericanRiddle.com, click on the Amazon or iTunes link and bookmark it. Be sure you do that. That's a big part, because that'll help the podcast out. So we have it's not a form of sponsorship, but it's more of a program that if you buy something, then we get a little love from Amazon and iTunes, where I can get cables. I need a couple new mics anyway, and you know, it'll help keep this podcast going. So do us a big favor. Go to AmericanRiddle.com.
Indeed.
And do what?
And bookmark it.
Bookmark what?
Amazon.
And?
After you click on it.
And iTunes.
And iTunes.
You paying attention, Mariam Tazi?
I mean, I didn't know I was part of this promo.
It's important. You have to be part of the promo.
I'll use it too.
At some point, I'm going to build a Amazon store where any books, any movies, any stuff like that that we talk about, you know what I mean? Dickies, you know what I mean? Timberlands. If you...
Dickies.
You might want a pair, man. I mean,
get it from Amazon.
Yeah, man.
Click on the bookmarked link. That's good.
Well, even if you buy anything, you could buy shoestrings, or you could buy, you know, anything. Whatever you buy from Amazon.
Fat laces.
Yes, whatever you buy from Amazon. We're getting into the holiday season.
True.
Click and bookmark that on your computer, so when you do order, you know, it's linked up with American Riddle. All you got to do is bookmark it from my link. That's all you got to do, and you'll help the cause. Domino, motherfucker.
The American Riddle Podcast.